Hey, thanks so much for checking out the Catalyst Church podcast. You know, our goal is that you would find and follow Jesus. So we hope that these resources and this sermon will help you do just that. If you could do us a favor before we jump in, and first connect with us on social media through any platform, just search Catalyst Woodland. And then also, it is amazing what a simple review on a number of platforms can do to help get the message of Jesus out to our community and to our world. So if you could simply leave us a review on Facebook or Google or any of those other platforms, we would really appreciate it. Well, thanks again for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this week's message. Hey everyone, Pastor Matt here. Before we dive into our 5-year anniversary message, which was a fantastic celebration of our community, wanted to tell you just a couple things. This Sunday was the culmination of our Just One initiative. You still have time. If you want to be a part of that, then just go ahead and log on to catalystwoodland.com/justone, and you can turn in a digital commitment card and still be a part of what we're doing. So make sure that you check that out. Also, next week is ending our Give Love campaign. And so if you are still interested in providing the Christmas wish for a foster child in Yolo County, then you can log on to givelovechristmas.com and let us know that how you would want to participate in that. And then also coming up in a couple weeks, we are going to be celebrating Christmas Eve, and our services are going to be Sunday night, December 22nd, three of them at 4 o'clock, 5:30, and 7. So I'd love to have you out for that. All right, that's all I have this week. Let's dive into this week's message. It is good to have you with us. As I was thinking about today, it reminded me of a story from our oldest, Aiden, when he was 4 years old, about 6 years ago. He had this thing, he's always been a bit anxious, but in this particular case, his anxiety got the best of him. We would get into the car, and he would begin to ask questions like any normal obnoxious 4-year-old does, like, where are we going? How, where are we going to get there? How long is it going to be? Are we going to take this route? Where are we going to, like, just on and on and on and on. And so we were, you know, good parents, and so we answered all the questions that he had. But then it started to get a little weird because he would ask these questions, but then he would ask more questions, and it never stopped. And then as we would go, the problem really came in to if we ever deviated at any point from said plan. So if a road was closed or a shop wasn't open yet or something had to be done different, we would make that adjustment, and he would lose his ever-loving mind and start screaming and throwing stuff and yelling. It was awful. And so we were like, you know what? One of the best pieces of parenting advice we ever got was everything is a season and everything will pass. We're like, so this is a season. This will pass. They lied to us. It didn't pass. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse to the point where he wouldn't get in the car anymore because he was like, I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know. It is an infinite world of disaster out there. I don't know what's going to happen. And we're like, man, relax. It's fine. So we decided at 4 years old to take our young boy to a child psychologist. Because we were like, man, we are out of options. Like, we have no more cards to play. I have no idea what to do anymore. And so we took him, and so we started to describe to this lovely gal what we were going through. And she's like, oh, yeah, no problem. We got this. We're like, well, you got this. You want to go out in the car with him right now? And you drive around with him. We were a bit agitated, and she seemed to be real calm about it. And she said, so here's what we're going to do. It's called exposure therapy. I don't know if you know anything about this. She's like, what I want you to do is I want you to put him in the car, and then when he starts asking questions, don't say anything. What? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. She's like, no, no, no. What I want you to say is one thing. I want you to tell him everything's going to be fine. Your mom and dad knows what's up. You can trust us. Put your faith in us. You'll be fine. And then he's like, well, where are we going? Your mom and dad got this. Just put your faith in us. Trust us. You'll be fine. And so she said, you need to start real slow, like 3 blocks. And he'll eventually learn that it's okay. Trust mom and dad. Everything will be fine. And so we did this for weeks, longer and longer. And it was awful. The whole point was just to go out and drive. And you, where are we going? Are we going to turn left or right? What is happening? And we say, yeah, I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. And he, oh man, he would freak out. And this is what she said. I'll never forget. She said, eventually, he will learn that he doesn't have to know all the facts in order for everything to end out okay. He doesn't have to know the end of the story to be able to calm down and put faith and trust in mom and dad. And I always remember how she said that, and eventually it was true. He didn't need all the facts. But then you fast forward to us as adults, we kind of go right back into that. We may not be kicking and screaming and yelling, but we need all the facts, don't we? We need to know how this is going to go, how this is going to turn out, how that job's going to work out, what's going to happen 5 years from now, what's going to happen 5 days from now. Well, like, ah, and we get all worked up because we are just like him. We want to know the end. And here's our problem. I'm assuming on you that you have the same problem I do. And that is that all of us want to see what's going on. We want as much information and a full picture as we could possibly have before we take a step forward. The problem is we serve a God who has this crazy way of working behind the scenes in ways that we can't see, in ways that we can't perceive. And so what we do is we see a what that we don't like. What's going to happen? Well, I don't like what's happening now. And we look at it and we go, man, I don't want that, whatever that is. And we push against it. And when we do that, we assume that the who, God, is ignoring us, he has forgotten us, or even worse, that he's actively working against us because we don't see what we want to see. We don't get the results that we want. We're a little unsure of what is coming next. And it tends to do the same thing to all of us. It just makes us anxious and worried and paralyzes us. All throughout the pages of Scripture, what we are invited to is to live a life of faith. For our purposes this morning, I will define faith like this. Faith is having full confidence in what you cannot prove. Having full confidence in something, oh yeah, prove that. I can't. I don't know. How's it going to work out? I don't know. Will it? Maybe. Maybe not. One of the things that I get asked all the time, not only about our own personal story, but just as a pastor, people will ask me, they'll say, hey, how do I know? I go, what do you mean? Well, how can I just be sure? How can I be 100% confident? How can I know that I know that I know that this is what God has for me so that I can move forward? How do I get 100% confident that this is what God wants? Let me tell you a little pastoral secret. You can't, okay? You can't. And anyone who tells you that they are 100% sure is lying to you. Anyone who's like, oh yeah, man, I was 100% sure. Okay, you're telling me that you are 100% sure when you're standing there at the altar. Come on. No one was. You weren't 100% sure. You were maybe 95-ish, 60. I don't know you. I don't want to judge your story. But you weren't 100% when you took that new job, when you had your first kid, when you stepped out in faith. You didn't know. You didn't know. But we say those things. Oh, yeah, man, I was 100% sure. And if you would have asked me right when we moved here, Matt, are you 100% sure that you know that you know that you know that this is what God has called you to? I would have said, absolutely, I think possibly. I don't, maybe, we'll see. That's what I would have said if I was honest. I don't know, maybe, we'll see. I think what happens is all of us, we want to be 100% sure. And it's not faith if it's 100% fully known, right? If you 100% know something, you know that you know it. It's not faith. And what happens is many of us, we will wait until we have all the facts. Do we know everything? Do there's no possibility it could fail? And then we take a step. Well, that's not faith. And so what happens is we don't know. We just don't know what we're supposed to do. And so we end up doing nothing. And we get paralyzed into doing nothing. And if someone were to say, well, why don't you take that step of faith? And listen, I'm not saying some crazy big step of it. I'm saying things like, maybe, I don't know, go see a therapist to put your marriage back together. Maybe like call that friend that you're like, yeah, I should probably forgive them. Just maybe extend an olive branch to someone. I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about like little acts of faith. We just go, ah, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to end up. I don't know. I don't know. And so it just paralyzes us. The problem is that God loves to call us to faith, into big moves of faith. And you will never know the full story when you begin anything. What is God calling you to? Well, when you start out, it's never going to be a sure thing, ever. One of the things I think that the church has maybe gone a little too far is we've consistently, and I'll be honest, from the first couple years, we were guilty of this. You call people to big and bold, audacious faith, right? You need to take big risk and big moves of faith and just boldly move with confidence into what God has for you. And that's fine for some of us. But I think most of us, if we were being honest, would say, well, how did you move into that faith? I would say, I walked in with maybe faith. I'm not sure faith. And I believe that God can use your maybe faith a lot more than you think. I think all throughout the pages of Scripture, what he is calling men and women to, if you were to put a microphone in their face and go, are you sure? They would go, maybe, possibly. We'll see. But yet they moved. They did something different than we normally do. And so that's what I want to talk about today. They stepped out in obedience. Here's the big idea I just want to flesh out in the rest of our time. Faith is not found in what you're believing for. Faith is found who you're believing in. Okay? It is not found in what you believe. It has nothing to do with the what. Well, the what is really big, or the what is really small. The what involves this person. The what about? None of that matters. What matters is who you are believing in. And that's why over the last 30 days, we've been doing this Just One initiative. And my hope and prayer would be that after these 30 days, you know, today and on, that you wouldn't just, oh, sweet, done with that, and get rid of the alarm, that you'd keep it around for a while, that 1 o'clock, and it would just remind you to say, God, what do you want me to do? God, how do you want me to move? How do you want me to act and react? God, would you speak into my life so that I can move in how you want me to move? And so we're going to look at a couple passages today, two stories, primarily in Genesis 12 and then again in Mark chapter 4. So if you want to flip in your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, we have some at either exit. You can grab one. If you don't own one, then take one with you. That is our gift to you, or you can open up on a device, or it'll eventually be up on the screens to either side. But we're going to look at a story of Abraham, before his name changed, in Genesis chapter 12. But before we get there, let us pray, and then we'll dive into what God has for us. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for these moments today. God, you are amazing, and what you've done over the last 5 years is simply awesome. And to be a part of it, and to watch it, and to see it come to fruition from a bunch of people who just stepped out with maybe some faith, that maybe you were calling us to do this, and maybe you wanted us to move forward, and maybe you wanted us to take this step or that step. God, I'm so thankful it's your faithfulness that you continue to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. God, we thank you. God, we also pray for the 49ers right now that you would, I believe in faith that they are winning. Pray that they would continue to win. It's in your name, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Most of the Niners fans were in the 9 a.m. Just going to put that out there. That was a lot more robust at 9. Okay, here we go. Are we ready to go to work, church? Yes. Genesis 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, this is important, which is why I wanted to stop here real quick. One of the things that happens so often in our faith is we want God to speak. And so we ask God, what do you want? How would you speak to me? And God does, listen, you were designed to hear from God. Do you know that? You were built and designed to hear from God. God wants to speak to you. Now, we don't know how God spoke to Abraham. I'll call him Abraham from here on out. We don't know how he spoke to him. Did he audibly speak to him? Maybe. Did he just kind of feel this inner urge or desire? Maybe. We don't know. But what we do know is that he had a devotional life enough where he would stop in the rhythm of the craziness of his life to listen to God. I'm really excited. In January, we're going to be doing a series. I'm thinking of calling it To Hell with Hustle. We'll see. But it, just this whole idea that we are moving at such a frantic pace that we never stop to listen to God anymore. God is kind of on the fly, and that's not how God moves. That's why we call it walking with Jesus, not running with Jesus. Anyway, so we'll get into that in January. I'm really excited about it. But anyway, he speaks to Abram. Now, one of the things that is really important is it says the Lord spoke to Abram. The difference between him, I think, so often and us is we have these emotions. We have this urge of, well, this is what I want to do. These are my plans. This is what I've decided, what I want to do. And then we overlay, well, God told me. Isn't that convenient? One of the problems with that is that your feelings can be very deceptive. And we're like, well, this is what I want to do. God, are you? Oh my gosh, look what I want to do. And God, and look, they're aligning. Like, understand that God may be calling you to something different than what you want. And that's okay. Most of the time, that is better than okay. But Abram, he hears from God, and then we'll see what happens, what God asks. And it continues. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Notice he says, and I will show you. Where are we going, God? I'll show you later. Just get in the car. Where are we going? Are we going to go to Target first? Or where are we going? We'll get there. Just get in the car, man. Just get in the car. That's what he's asking. Just take a step of faith. He continues. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. God called, he went. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. He just went. Because you know what he could have done? He could have gotten real arrogant about it. Are you serious? Do you know what I've been through to get to this point? I'm not, come on, man. Or he could have gotten real nervous. I need a lot more information. This, I will show you. I mean, you're God. So like a little more detail, please. I need to know what's happening. I didn't know. He just goes. And it's really cool. In the language, it says that he went. And the word that went is like this excited, like, oh, okay, got to get on. Like he's got to move. He's got to get things going because he's been called by God to do something, and he needs to make that happen quickly. Nobody can speak to you like God can, because nobody knows you like God does. Not your spouse, not your best friend. Oh, but she's my girl. Okay. But she doesn't know you like God does. Well, I don't know, man. I mean, we've been bros since college. All right, relax. He doesn't know you like God does. All that stuff that you don't tell anyone, when you're putting your head on your pillow at night and you're thinking these things, he knows all that. And he can speak to your deepest desires, and he can speak to what he wants you to do, apart from all the voices that we have in our lives, because he knows you better than anyone else. The problem, though, is that there's always going to be a gap. There's always going to be a gap between what God has called us to and what you are capable of doing. Always. And so often, I'll talk to people and they say, well, I don't know. It's beyond, we don't have the finances for that. I don't know. I don't know if they'll ever forgive me. I don't know if we could go back. I'm not really sure about that. And I would just want to answer, there's the gap. And that gap is there all the time to keep you dependent on God. Because if there wasn't a gap, if you're just walking around all the time, doing whatever you wanted to do, not realizing that, oh man, God is stretching me. And he's asking me to have more faith, to take steps that make me a little uncomfortable, to actually like lean into what he wants. Yes, there's always going to be a gap. You will always feel deficient in some way. Welcome to following Christ. There should be an element of your life that you're always feeling a little deficient. Like, man, I can't do this on my own. And God's like, yep, I know. It's kind of the point. I want to keep you in that place where you're always dependent on me. You're always looking to me for what is next. It is faith that should fill that gap, that I trust God. I don't know what's going on. I can't really see what's next. I don't really understand, but it's faith. But you and I, we love to fill that gap with something else. I'll show you what Abraham filled it with. Years later, they write about him in Hebrews chapter 11. This is what it says. It says, by faith, right? He had a gap. He filled it with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. He was called to obey. He filled it with faith. What do you fill your gap with? Networking, advice from a friend. Well, I don't feel it. What do you throw money at it? Each one of us, when there is a gap between what God has called us to do and what we are able to do on our own, we will fill it with something. Most of us fill it with anything but faith. We fill it with something that is dependent on us to stretch the portion of what we think we can do. Well, if I can get closer, if I can close down that faith gap, then maybe it won't be so difficult. To which I think, then if God were speaking to us, he would say, yeah, but then you're leaving me out. So your plan, your life plan of faith is to intentionally leave me out? Am I getting that right? Like, you just want to do what you want to do, just make your own plans, and then leave me out. I think if we were honest, many of us would say, yeah, that we want to work towards independence. We want to work on being able to do this life on our own. How do I know? Because I'm going to guess that every single one of you, when you needed something from God, you pray more than you do now. When you really, I needed that house. I'm praying every day. You get that house, you're like, wow, sweet. When's the last time you prayed? I don't know. I got what I wanted. Am I wrong? So many of us, we get real into prayer when we need something from him. But then once we have that thing that we want, once we've filled that gap with what we can do, or he delivers on a faith promise, then we just move on. We go back to do our own thing. Well, I got this. Thanks for the help. I need a little, and we needed to close that gap. You helped me close that gap. I'm going to move on. Thanks so much. Do you actually want God, or do you just want what he can do for you? That he can like make stuff happen, because he's really cool like that. He's like a rich uncle. He just like shows up and just starts throwing money at you. And you're like, man, it's so cool. I know Jesus. He does a lot of really cool stuff for me. I ask him, he comes through. It's nuts. I think it's more than that. I think we need to, like I was saying earlier with the big idea, I think we need to put our faith back in the who, back in God. That has been the story of this place from the beginning. A group of people who, if you were to ask, so is this what God has called you to? I think they would have said, maybe, we think. We'll just step out in obedience. I could tell you the first day we moved here, when we moved into our home and it was 114 degrees, and someone was like, are you sure about this? I was like, maybe. It was 73 when I left my nice beach community, and now it's death here in Woodland, and I don't know why I did this. I distinctly remember, I'm going to show you a video in a minute, just a bit of our story, especially those of you who've been here just in the last couple weeks or months, or maybe since we moved here to this space, you'll get to see a lot of the behind-the-scenes story. But I will never forget, we were driving over the causeway, and I called my wife, and I said, what have we done? Seriously, remember that? I called, and I was like, what? Because I was in the U-Haul front, she was in the car behind me, and I was like, what did we just do? She's like, I'd have no idea. Like, all right, I love you too. Just hung up. So there's our big faith story, all right? So that's who you're following, just so we're clear. That's who's leading the charge. They're like, are we sure? Maybe. Let's do it. Like, that's just how we roll. And so I want to show you a video of a little recap and a little behind-the-scenes story of all that God has done in the last 5 years, and then I'll close it out with a challenge to us. Let's check it out.
It was January of 2014. And my wife and I and some friends of ours and pastors that we had known were sitting downtown at a restaurant in Sacramento. And we were frustrated. I was frustrated because I felt like God had called us to this region, but there were no open doors. Nothing was happening. And so as I began to lay out what I felt God was calling us to, two of my friends said, well, go to Woodland. What's Woodland? Like, well, it's, and they described this city that needed a new church. And so we went with our group and we prayed around the city. I remember we sat on the steps of the Gibson Mansion and just prayed to see what God would do. What God ended up doing was more than we could ever ask or imagine. A couple months later, we moved here with our family and just began to make relationships that we still have to this day, people that are still a part of our church. I remember in that first year, we would throw these block parties and do all these big events just to try to gather people. And people were interested about Catalyst, but not really interested in helping start it, because it's kind of weird, this family from Southern California coming to Woodland and starting a new church, which is not something that happens in Woodland every day. And so there were a couple families that we met in that time, the Wynn family and the Duncans and the Hills, and who are all still with us today, that had enough faith, they believed in us, and joined with us to where we actually just wanted to call the city's bluff, because people were excited, but they weren't coming to anything. And so we held our first public service at the end of August in 2014, and people actually showed up. A lot of people showed up. And so I did something that was pretty crazy, all at the advice of my pastor, Chris Hall. So I blame him entirely for this. We invited everyone that was at service to our home. And that evening, we had 15 people show up at our home, and they became our first staff. Yes, I picked our first staff from the people that I had just met at church service that morning. But hey, it was all we had. And so we moved forward with the best that we knew at the time. And so a couple months later, after our once a month services were done on December 7th of 2014, we had our grand opening and about 200 people showed up, which is just insane. And the really cool part about that is in that next month, between our grand opening and Christmas Eve, many of the families that have become staple leaders within our community, people like the Wrights and Stephanie Hicks and the McBrides and the Weichels and the Baltazors, I could go through all these families, they all came at that time and really began to form us into a family, into a community that wanted to help more than anything people find and follow Jesus. And so we set off in December of 2014. At the time, we were setting up and tearing down every single Sunday at Tafoya Elementary School, which was great and wonderful, but brutal at the same time. There were some really cold mornings in that gym, sitting on those cold metal chairs. But people met Jesus in that space, and we got an opportunity to start things like the Give Love Initiative to help local foster youth. We held our first carnival. We were able to paint maps around schools on their campuses and go help other organizations rebuild, and like the Pregnancy Support Center and Empower YOLO. And we did a bunch of different projects around the city to really begin to galvanize what became the Catalyst family. It was in the next summer of 2015 that we felt that God was kind of moving us out of Tafoya and we needed a new space. And so we found this old furniture store at 120 Main. I'll never forget, our leaders met down in the lobby because the owner was so eager to get rid of this space, or at least to have someone move in, that he gave me a key like months before we ever signed a contract. And so we came in here, and I still have a picture of our leaders gathered praying in what is now our lobby. And we just prayed like, God, is this what you would have us do? And we realized that it was gonna take a lot more than we could ever dream. I mean, and that's the story of Catalyst. The whole thing has been God's faithfulness and grace to us and doing more than we could ever dream, with just some people who are willing to live open-handed and say, God, well, what do you want us to do? And then being obedient to respond to whatever he calls us to. And so we talked to a few contractors and architects and realized that we would have to raise about $160,000. Now, for a church of 110 people or whatever we were at that time, that's insane. And it was. But 40 families decided to commit. And it was between those 40 families and some matching funds from some organizations that had helped us get started, we were able to raise $160,000. And so we went in contract of this place, 120 Main, and construction started. For the next 2 years, we were both growing as a community and doing life at Tafoya Elementary, but then also renovating this space. And the beautiful thing about this space is, pretty much other than the fire suppression system and the framing of the walls that are around you Every single thing that you see was done by a volunteer. The stage that we stand on, the walls that are painted, the decoration of the classrooms, and I mean, everything you see, all the lights that are illuminating this place, I mean, everything you see was done by our family and the people who were willing to sacrifice and give so that the city of Woodland could have a place of hope right in the center of town, known as Catalyst Church. And so in January of 2019, we held our grand opening and we moved in and we multiplied to two services and have spent the last year doing that and multiplying and growing and seeing people come to find and follow Jesus. And it's been pretty amazing. But one of the things that, as I look back over the last 5 years, that just kind of gets me emotional as I think about it, is just all of the people that have not only joined our family, but have joined the family of God. The dozens of people that have gone into the waters of baptism and proclaimed that they want to find and follow Jesus. The amount of marriages and relationships that have been restored or saved that were maybe on the brink of divorce that we don't even know the volume of stories that the hundreds, and I mean hundreds of kids and students that have walked our hallways and heard the name of Jesus, to all of the things that we have been able to unleash in our city. And it all goes back to a gracious and loving God who has done more than we could ever dream. And we recite that every Sunday out of Ephesians 5. I don't know how that happened. I think I was trying to think of something cool at the end of one of our preview services and I just said it. I don't know why, I just did. And then we said it at the next preview and the next preview, and 5 years later we say it every Sunday. And it has become kind of an anthem and a refrain for our family. And as I look forward to the next 5 years, I look back on what God has already done on the backs of the generosity and the talents of a few people to help our entire city and region come to find and follow Jesus. And so as I look forward to the next 5 years, all I can think is that same refrain, that now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah. Crazy, right? It's nuts, man. Absolutely nuts. As I was saying, there's that gap between what God is calling us to and what we can do. The problem, though, I think for many of us, is what we end up filling that gap with is fear. Fear of, I don't know how this is going to go. I'm not really sure. I think fear is the number one thing that holds us back from what God is calling us to. I want to show you just a quick passage in Mark chapter 4 that brings this out. This is how it begins, if we could throw that up there. On that day when evening had come, he, who is he, Catalyst? Jesus, always the right answer here. He said to them, let us go across to the other side. Here it is again. God, in the form of Jesus, is saying, hey, let's go. Let's do something new. Let's go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Why is that in there? I do not know. Just as it wasn't like, well, you know, like you needed to get an extra set of clothes. No, just as he is. He's Jesus. He's enough. And other boats were with them, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. And he, where was Jesus during this whole thing? Well, he was in the stern, asleep. And they woke him, saying, teacher, do you not care? We're going to die. Like, are you not paying attention? There's a huge storm. And he awoke. And he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then here's what I want to show you. And so then he turned and said to them, why are you guys so afraid? Have you still no faith? See, that's, well, why didn't you move into faith? Are you afraid? And then this is the crazy part to me. So Jesus rebukes the waves, says, hey, you need to be filled with faith, not fear. And so they were filled with great fear. Okay, isn't that what we do? Like, yes, I know, I need to have no fear. I know, God, yes, yes, God, that's what I want. Yes, yeah, I want that too. Okay, we're going to move, great faith. And someone were to say, well, what are you filled with right now? A lot of fear, actually. Yeah, a lot of fear. But he just said, be filled with faith. Yeah, I know. But fear is kind of winning. It's what I'm filled with. So he said, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Here's the problem with fear. Fear is going to lie to you. Fear is going to tell you it's never going to work. Fear is going to tell you it's over. Fear is going to tell you that God has abandoned you. Fear is going to tell you that you'll never have enough money, you'll never have enough time. You're never going to get back into relationship with them. They'll never forgive you. They'll never answer your call. They'll never come visit you. You're never going to have that relationship. It's never going to get restored. It's never going to go back. Your job's always going to be the same. Fear is going to lie to you. And when God wants to speak faith into your life and say, no, I have something more for you. I need you to step out in faith. And we respond with, I don't know. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I want to show you a picture that means a great deal to me. This picture here is our team sitting downtown in downtown Sacramento on the last day of a three-day trip that we took here to really see what God had for us and where we were going to move. Now, something interesting about this photo. As you can see, I am lecturing the people, which is not unlike me. That is my map. That is my statistics of where we should go. That is my demographics of where we should go. So I had already statistically made this out. I knew exactly what we were going to do. And as you can see, with your own two eyes, up in the upper left-hand corner, the chairman of the board at the time, the brilliant and amazing Dave Lippert, was laughing at me. And the others were really uncomfortable because, and Chris, my pastor, had the foresight enough to go, oh, he's going to want to remember this, and steps back and takes a picture. Because a few moments after that picture was taken, the five of them collectively sat around and said, hey, man, I don't know if you're going to want to hear this, but you can do what you want to do. Like, all for you, man. Like, God bless you. That's cool. Like, if you want to go, like, plant church, whatever, that's great. But God is not in what you're doing, just so you know. Little aside, you need friends like that who can step into your life and go, hey, you can do what you want to do, but God's not in what you're trying to do. Just throwing it out there. You need friends like that. Because what we wanted to do was what I wanted to do. I had a plan. I had a vision for my life, and I was very clear about what I wanted to do. And they were like, yeah, man, it's just the Spirit of God is just resting on our heart to tell you that that's not what God has for you. And I was like, okay, fine then, mystic prophets. What does God have for me? And they're like, we don't know, man. Like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh, man, I was so mad. So right after this, my wife and I go up to our hotel room, and we are just yelling at each other. Like, this is the moment where, like, we're supposed to go and hear from God and be, like, confirmed and, like, starting a church. And there we are in our hotel room just screaming at each other. And all of them just sitting in that lobby just going, like, oh, man, what have we done? What have we done? And so one of the guys texts a pastor in the area and is like, hey, man, this whole thing is kind of going to crap. I don't know what we're going to, like, this thing is a mess. But we're here. And so, what do you want to do? And he goes, hey, that's cool. Meet me for lunch. And so then we went to lunch. And this is the picture that changed everything, where fear went from faith. Because so much of what I was operating out of was fear. All the statistics said it wouldn't work in all these areas, but it'll work here, here, and here. But what did God say? I don't care what God said. Demographics say something, and it's very clear. And some of you are like that. What does God say? I don't know. But the budget says this. This is what's going to happen. What does God say? I don't know. Don't care. This is what I feel. This is what is happening in my marriage. Well, did God say that? No, it's what I said. It's how I feel. So as you can see, I am in a posture and position of openness and receptivity. Everyone else is just chilling. I'm like, speak, people. I am so, like, I was at, like, an ultimate level of pissed off in this moment. And I'm berating all these friends of mine, like, okay, so where do you think we should go? And they literally, they said, well, we don't know. Maybe you should just move up to the area and then follow God. I'm like, okay, we'll just move out and the cloud will come down. I was being such a jerk. I was so mad. And so then JD, there at the bottom, if you were here over the summer, you met him. JD, he's sitting at the bottom there. I'm just ranting and raving and just so mad. And he goes, hey, you know what? I'm just listening to you speak. Spirit of God wants me to tell you, go to Woodland. I'm like, what's that? He's like, go out to city. It's like, okay, fine, I'll go to Woodland. What, are we moving to Arkansas now? He's like, no, man, it's like 20 minutes up the road. Shut up. And so we literally got in the car and we drove, and that's where my wife and I, we sat down on the Gibson Mansion stairs and we prayed, and we just felt an overwhelming sense of the Spirit of God say, this. We went back, sold our house, and moved. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what you're sitting here with about a fear of what God is calling you to. I don't know what the devil is lying to you about. But what I want to challenge you this morning, whatever it was, and my prayer for all of us has been over this last 30 days that you've heard from God about something. Then we have a God, what do you want me to do? That he's spoken clearly. That you would take a step towards faith and away from fear. That would you would move towards what God has for you, not backwards into fear. That when you step forward, that you wouldn't keep looking back. There is a reason why the rearview mirror is so much smaller than the windshield. It's way easier to look forward, but we love looking back, don't we? We love stepping forward, like just kind of checking our shoulder the whole time because we're afraid. But whatever God is calling you to, and my prayer for our community is that we would be a faithfully obedient family. That we would be an obedient community. That, and I can tell you, I speak on behalf of all of our staff and leaders who I can assure you that when we sit down to plan and dream and what is God going to do, we do it like this. We go, okay, God, whatever you want. This is what we have in mind, what you want. It's hilarious, man. I was looking this week, it was like a dive down memory lane. I was looking back at all these things, of all these plans that we had before we started Catalyst. Just so you know, this looks nothing like we had. Nothing, not even close. God has done so much more than we could have ever dreamed, and I believe that for you. I believe that your best days of following after God in faith are ahead. But you have to move past the fear. It's the same thing that with Jesus, that when he was on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross, he was afraid. How do I know that? Because he was actively trying to negotiate with God out of going to the cross. Are you sure? Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to get out of it, actually. If you could just give me a sec. But God was like, no, this is what I have for you. This is what I want. And then one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, Jesus looked up to the heavens and said, not my will, but yours be done. I'm going to lay aside what I want to do, and I want to do what you want me to do. And then that ultimately led him to the cross so that he could die for your sins and for mine so that we could be here today, even having this conversation about hope and faith, because he decided to move beyond the fear. My invitation to you today is simple. Is just step out of faith. Move beyond the fear that is holding you back from doing what God has called you to do. I believe that you and I were designed to hear from God. And so ask God, God, what do you want from me? And then boldly move into it. It's what we've been doing from the beginning, and it's what we will continue to do for the next 5 years and beyond. God is far from done with us, church. He has a lot more for us in store. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for calling us to more, for allowing us to be a part of a bigger story than any of us could ever dream. God, for some of us in this space, you are calling us to step out in faith and do something that makes us afraid, if we're honest. That we don't really know what it's going to look like. We don't really know how it's going to go. We don't know how we're going to pay for it. We don't know what they're going to say when they pick up the phone. We have no idea how this is going to go. We don't even know what the next 5 days are going to look like, but you do. And you're calling us to take a simple step of obedience. So God, would you empower us by your Spirit to take steps of obedience in what you have called us to? God, we want to be obedient. We want to follow you. because you are God and we are not. And we trust that you know far more than we ever will. And that you, time after time after time, will do more than we could ever ask or imagine. God, we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.